The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect that of the staff and management of Good Karma Brands, but are the sole responsibility of the host and guests of this particular show.
America may have many, many days, but they will be full of trouble. There will be no rest. There will be no tranquility in this country. Yes, sir. Until a nation comes to terms with our problems.
Bringing you social and political commentary from his mouth to your ears. Breaking down the issues which matter to you.
You are not put here to be a white man's footstool. You are put here to represent the very best in God's word.
Legendary civil rights icon, the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the studio. Reverend Jackson, how are you?
Mr. Reverend, good morning on this chilly Milwaukee morning.
And I am pleased to have one of the founding members of the Black Panther Party, Chairman Bobby Seale. Mr. Chairman, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
From Mr. Eric Holder. Mr. Holder, so good to see you. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, man. How you been? It's been a long time. Haven't seen you for a while.
The Dr. Cornell West. Dr. West, how are you, sir?
My dear brother, you're so kind. You're so generous. So, man, but I salute you and the work that you were doing there. Doing a magnificent job there in Wisconsin.
Stream live on 1017thetruth.com. Call in with your questions or comments. 833-212-1017. Join us on social media at 1017thetruth. It may not be what you expect to hear, but I will definitely give you what you need to know. Are you ready for the truth?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Sherwin Hughes.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday, August 26th, 2024. Well, I got some facts for you. We're going to delve into those facts with a little more detail as the program progresses. It seems the black lady, well, part Jamaican, part Indian lady, whatever she is doing relatively well. Seems like she has received a post-convention bump in the polls, as we expected. That convention was, if it was nothing else, it was a great contrast to what the Republican convention was a month ago. So we're going to see how her campaign is capitalizing off of that as both candidates are sprinting toward the finish line. We're looking at like 70 days, give or take, not a whole heck of a lot of time. And it does seem like the black lady is peaking just at the appropriate moment. So what I find troubling and also difficult about these campaigns in particular, and we've seen evidence of this really since Donald Trump seriously entered the political fray right around the summer of 2015. And if you recall, what he used to eliminate his other Republican rivals at that time, the Republican Party knew that they were in bad shape. They weren't winning national elections. Democrats had a really decent couple of terms with Barack Obama, not just policy wise, but also just the way in which Barack Obama executed his duties as president while taking all sorts of criticisms. And they tried to discredit him. And as Michelle Obama said last week, they tried to make people in this country hate the Obamas. So our politics started to go down this really dark, winding road. And Trump has used and capitalized that to, you know, build his brand, unfortunately. But there's something else that gets even more frustrating as I try and discuss what the issues are, figure out what you guys want from your candidates, and not just at the presidential level, because that's kind of far away. There are things that are closer to home that we want to discuss as well. And maybe some of those things that we want to see that are closer to home can have an impact on how we feel about our Democrat versus Republican presidential candidates. But this is what makes it difficult, and also what makes this particular job now more than ever very, very difficult. We can't agree on anything. There is not a single issue, ladies and gentlemen, in which you have 95% agreement. There isn't. Other than like 2 + 2 being 4. But I'm sure there's going to be someone that finds a new, what's that new math they do? They do a new kind of math. I don't know what kind of math it is, where 2 + 2 may not even be 4 anymore or whatever that math is. But as far as like political issues, social issues, economic issues, nobody can agree. I can even take a fact that inflation peaked at like 9.1% probably in 2021, 2022, ridiculously high. That means the dollar is worth less as prices continue to rise. Inflation now, 2.9%. Gas prices, people complain about gas prices and they blame that on one president versus another. I know in the early days of this current election cycle, the Trump campaign, well, gas was cheaper when Donald Trump was president. And for some of y'all, that's all you needed to support Donald Trump because gas was cheaper. Forget the fact that no one was driving during the pandemic and there was a tremendous amount of supply of gasoline that no one was using. So, of course, it was cheap. Well, guess what? Now gas is less than $3 a gallon, but no one is going to give credit to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. So even when the things that were the biggest complaints politically have been somewhat remedied, gas prices are lower, inflation is 3 times lower right now than it was a couple of years ago, it still doesn't matter because we can't agree on anything. We can't agree on climate. We can't agree on what to do with the border and the migrant crisis. We can't agree on green energy. We can't agree that we need to get away from fossil fuels because it's polluting too much. We can't agree on anything. We can't agree on taxes. Who should get taxed and how much they should get taxed. We can't agree on something that is as basic and fundamental as Social Security and Medicare. We cannot agree on anything. That's the problem. There was a period of time where we just agreed on certain issues. Yeah, we want this for our future. We want to make it easier for people to go to college. We want to fully fund public education or really any type of education that can help a child become much more successful. We argue about all of that. We even argue about and disagree on who the people are that we elect, and then we'll disagree about the job that they're doing and then try to recall them, and we'll disagree on that too. There is no agreement anywhere. We can't even agree if Kamala Harris is black. Now, this isn't my stance, but some of you will say that the Democrats don't know what a woman is. And there are some days where I'm not too damn sure what a woman is either. I don't know what it is. Is a woman some person that's just not toxically masculine? I don't know what that is. There's no agreement on anything. We cannot see eye to eye. If you take the biggest issues facing this country, and we also have to look at foreign policy, which has never been America's strong suit. And I say that because if I pulled out a map of the world, big old map, it's got all the countries and all the places on it, and I asked most Americans, where is Ukraine? Maybe 20%. If I didn't have names of the countries, even if I had names on the countries on the map, some people would see the word Ukraine and still wouldn't know that that's the Ukraine. Some of y'all don't know where Israel is. But foreign policy, of course, is something else that we discuss with great frequency. And I know that there's a lot of Americans that don't want, quote unquote, our money going to finance a foreign war. I suppose that makes sense. But there's a fallacy that if we weren't involved in foreign conflicts, which do relate to our democracy here in America, but that's a discussion I'm not ready to have with y'all today, you think that you're going to get that money back. That's not at all how that works. Like, we may disagree with where the money goes. Well, of course, we're going to disagree on where money goes because everybody disagrees on everything. But it's not like if we weren't spending that money over there, giving money to Ukrainian forces trying to push back Russia, that you would have more money in your pocket. That is not at all how that works. That money would just get reallocated somewhere else, probably still to the military. Or something else that we don't agree on. It wouldn't necessarily go to fortify Social Security and Medicare. It wouldn't necessarily go to make sure that the Affordable Care Act is still able to operate. Open enrollment is going to start, I believe, in October. So I'll let you guys know ahead of that time schedule. But there's nothing that we agree on. Not even basic fundamental stuff in American policies. What do we do about the migrants coming over here? Knowing that we need not only their labor, we need the taxes that they pay when they earn wages. Not only that, we need people to come to this country and continue to buy stuff. That is the most important part that I think a lot of folks are missing. We seem to think that when someone comes to the United States illegally, which we can have that discussion too, I suppose, that all they're doing is taking. Oh, they get the right to vote, don't they? They get free health care. Some of y'all think they get thousands and thousands upon thousands of dollars, and they get to have a nice apartment with a nice beach view, that they just come over here and they just take a whole bunch of stuff. We also believe that if someone comes to this country and they are in need of something, they need medical care, if they want to put their children in school, some of us believe that if those people never came, the money that we are spending on them, we would get. You're not getting any money. You know what you need to get money? Another pandemic. And even then, what you going to get? $1,200, $1,400? That's all you're going to get. So if y'all want to manufacture another COVID, even though we do have COVID that is lurking still, and even then you're only going to get, what, $1,200, $1,400 a couple of times? What makes this exceedingly difficult is we can't agree on anything. But I'm going to ask you guys this. Maybe I'm missing something, and I probably am. Is there an issue? It's not religion. It definitely ain't that. It's not the Bible. It's not prayer in school. We can't even agree on how you discipline kids in school. We can't even agree on what we do to fix reckless driving. Is it more police? Is it more enforcement? Is it more bump outs? Is it changing the engineering of traffic flow? We can't even figure out. Kia and Hyundai can't even figure out how to make their cars more difficult to steal. Can't agree on anything. We can't agree on grocery prices. We can't agree on why prices went up. Was it, in fact, inflation? Well, it can't be inflation anymore, because inflation is pretty much where it was at its lowest levels, within 7 or 8 tenths of a percent of inflation, at a level that was so low we never even thought about it. We didn't even complain about it. Now it's just corporate greed. They can just decide to raise the prices. Do y'all eat bologna? Does anybody out there still eat bologna? My bologna has a first name. Remember the bologna? It's processed and you're not supposed to eat it because it's got nitrates in it, and apparently bologna will kill you. However, I digress. What if the bologna makers, how much does bologna cost? How do you even buy bologna? In a pack, a chunk, whatever. If bologna makers say, hey, we want bologna to cost $27. And they're going to raise the price to $27. That has nothing to do with Joe Biden and has nothing to do with Kamala Harris and her policies. It has nothing to do with inflation. It's just people that make bologna know that people are going to buy the bologna. So they raise the prices on the bologna. And so the people that make bread, do y'all eat Wonder Bread? You're not supposed to eat Wonder Bread because white bread apparently is bad for you. But so is the damn bologna. And so what'll happen is people buy the bologna and the bologna prices are now $27. And the bread makers know that the people that buy bologna also buy bread. And the bread makers are like, well, hell, now bread is going to cost $27 too, because we don't want the bologna people to make all of the money. That is actually what happens. Companies and corporations just raise their prices. And what do? We blame the government some kind of way. And even when Kamala Harris says, yeah, I want to try and tackle corporate price gouging, which is a noble thing to suggest, she technically can't. There is no executive order nor a law that will be passed by Congress that tells the bologna company, hey, you can only charge $3.99 for the bologna. You can't charge $27, because if you try and sell the company and the corporation that they can't charge $27 for the bologna, they'll simply sue the federal government and the Supreme Court will say, yep, they can charge $27 for the bologna. We're going to take a break. When I come back, hopefully somebody out there, well, think of an issue that we Americans can agree on. At least 95% of us. What is one thing that a total stranger can suggest to you or say to you or offer to you, or you'd be like, yep, I totally agree with that. I agree with that issue. Is it healthcare? Is it investments in education? Is it infrastructure? Like, what is something that we agree on? And maybe that is where we begin to repair our politics. Find an issue, a subject matter, a policy, a law, a bill in which the overwhelming majority of adults, because adults have different agreements than children. Children, they're weird because they're children. But what is something we all can agree on? And if we can find that thing, maybe that is where we begin rebuilding our politics.
You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back shortly.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree on the issues of the day. By and large, I agree with the policies of one political party versus another, unless someone is able to objectively change my mind. And I have been waiting for so long, and I'm very serious when I say this. And y'all know me as a partisan, and I give reasons for that. And if you wonder why I select one political party and their philosophy over another, I will gladly tell you. But I don't tell you to try and influence you. It's a personal decision for me. It's a policy decision for me. And I also look at the body of work of one political party versus another, not as it relates to the entire country, as it relates to specific groups of people, one of those groups I am included in. And so I base my decisions solely off of that. But I have been waiting for the Republican Party, whether it exists locally, statewide, or nationally, to come up with reasonable alternatives to what the Democrats are suggesting, especially when it comes to healthcare. A wonderful place for the Republican Party to start, because we all have to agree that at some point in time, you will need healthcare. You will. Either you're preventative and you get regular health exams, or you don't, and then you go in and you get the very bad news. But at some point, we're all going to interact with the healthcare system. And the Republicans know that because they interact with it. Their constituents interact with it. Everybody in this nation, migrants interact with the healthcare system, because if they come over here across the border with the COVID, well, then they're going to have to get involved in the healthcare system in one way or another. I have been waiting for more than a decade for the Republicans to come up with a reasonable alternative to the Affordable Care Act. Because the Republican alternative, which, let me be clear, there isn't one. There isn't one. That showed me that when it comes to one of the most significant issues and problems that needed to be addressed of our modern times, the Republicans just decided not to do anything. How are you going to address the healthcare crisis in this country? The number of Americans that are sick, the number of Americans that are dying, the number of Americans that cannot afford their medication. We can start with insulin, and Black folks are very familiar with that one. At least one political party said, yeah, insulin costs too much, especially if someone has type 1 diabetes. It's not their fault. They were born with a pancreas that doesn't function like it's supposed to, and they need these medications for the rest of their lives. Literally from when they're diagnosed, and it could be very early on, 4, 5, 6 years old, for the rest of their lives, they're going to need insulin. It's not fair to have insulin $600 per month, in some cases even more than that. So at least the Democrats made an attempt at making a particular medication less expensive. Actually, there's a whole list of medications that Democrats have worked to make less expensive. So where is the Republican alternative to that? Because here's the thing. If the Republicans came up with a healthcare plan, I might like theirs better. It might be cheaper. It might offer more flexibility. When you, and I disagree with this thing that happens in our politics today, when one political party makes up all of the rules and they create all of the policies, that's a problem. They're supposed to debate that stuff. They're supposed to debate the merits of the policy. Obamacare was not perfect. I remember being on the phone. I was on the phone so long when I first, when I enrolled for the first time, when was that? 2012? Before that. 2011, whenever Obamacare started and you went to healthcare.gov and you started filling out your application, but then you had another application based upon the state you were in. It was a whole mess. And then they said, oh, if you're having trouble completing your application, call this number. I was on hold for so long that I burnt through a whole full charged cell phone battery. And still, I was all told that day I was on hold for 6 hours. And at that moment, I was thinking, damn, I wish the Republicans had an alternative plan with a different telephone number where I could get service a lot faster. Now, ultimately, as time went on, the kinks got worked out. But it had to get worked out without the Republicans willing to participate in helping make the Affordable Care Act more user friendly. But the Republicans, instead of putting together their own health care policy or admitting that the Affordable Care Act was, in fact, the law of the land signed by President Barack Obama, that they needed to make it more user friendly because their constituents were signing up for it too. Our phone number, if you have questions or comments or you have an issue that you believe that Americans can agree on, at least 90% of us, we can't even agree on Black history, where it should be taught, how it should be taught. We certainly ain't going to agree on reparations, or at least not reparations for you Blacks. Let's see if Security Mike has something that we agree on. Security Mike, you're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
I got to say, man, you know, I always agree with you, man. Check it out. We've been going through this for what? At least about 16 years. They want to replace it, but they never have nothing to replace it with. They've been no alternative. All they're trying to do is con somebody, man. That's all Trump trying to do is con and get his way back in there. But I called to say, you got to give me some credit for my predictions. Trump trying to get us, he's trying to not debate her now.
I see it.
I told you he wanted all to be Fox friendly. I just saw it this morning getting up. You getting ready to go deliver and make some extra money. I'm off my security guard today. But, hey, you got to admit, I've been calling this sort of right on these predictions. Dude ain't going to debate her, man. I got three sisters. A woman always get their last word. She going to chew him up. And he already going back out of this, man. I said that back about a month ago. I was telling you that he ain't going to do none of these debates unless it's Fox friendly. That's all I got to say, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Security Mike, who's off from his security job today. If you want to be like Security Mike, 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. So Security Mike, again, is right, apparently. He predicts all of the things correctly. Trump is sowing the seeds for backing out of the only scheduled debate that both candidates can agree on. And here's what I want to say to Trump supporters without attacking them. You can't even have a conversation on the merits without a Trump supporter feeling attacked. Okay? There was a date that was agreed upon by, well, it was the Biden campaign, the Trump campaign. And do you guys know that Donald Trump needs to get permission from his probation officer to be able to travel and go to rallies? Y'all know that? So they had an agreed upon date. So Trump campaign agreed, the Biden campaign, I'm sorry, Biden-Harris campaign agreed. Now the Harris-Walls campaign agrees that September 10th was going to be the debate. And Donald Trump was very much looking forward to it because the previous debate that we saw effectively ended Joe Biden's campaign, which is what you want a good debate to do, right? You want to debate somebody so good, you debate them so hard, you debate them with so much thrust and so much power that it basically ends their campaign. That's a good debate, right? You beat them, you trounce them. They couldn't get their words out right. They couldn't keep a thought straight. You beat them. You appear strong. You appear very articulate. In fact, you can even lie about literally everything you say, but it's the drama and the theatrics of the debate that people are watching. Because most Americans, as much as we talk about policy, we don't know what the hell it is. We have no clue. Because if we did, we would stop saying, oh, Kamala Harris doesn't have any policies. Kamala Harris has ideas. Presidents don't make policy. They don't make it. They sign stuff. They appoint people. They shrug their shoulders a lot. They send money to other countries. They send money to states when there's like a tornado or a hurricane or a vortex or like that's what presidents do. Presidents don't do nearly as much as y'all think that they do. So they agreed on a date. Now Trump is backing out. And not only would he get beat, because I don't think that a defendant wants to go up against a prosecutor, regardless of her gender. Trump doesn't need to win a debate. He doesn't need to. Because let's be honest. So those of you that plan on watching the debate, and it's actually not doing me any favors because I want to have a big old debate party on September 10th. Hell, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to have a debate party now because Trump wants to back out of it. He doesn't need a debate. I don't care how well Trump performs. He might be truthful and be very articulate and be erudite and be very specific. He might even have a whole platform full of things that he would like to work with Congress on. Donald Trump could say, hey, you know what?
I've been kind of a stick in the mud lately. Let me have a more reconciliatory tone. I want to work with the Democrats because, darn it, we want to make things happen for the American people. It still wouldn't increase his vote share. There's nothing that man can say, even if he performs well, that will take away the support that Kamala Harris has, and it will not add to his vote total. It just won't. So why would he waste his time? Something else that the Republicans are doing that I think you all should know is the money that they are raising is not going to get out the vote efforts. It's not going to outreach. They're not opening offices in black and brown communities all over the country to better serve the needs of those constituencies and battleground states, et cetera. They're not doing any of that. The money they are raising is going to the court challenges that they plan to initiate, some of which they have started right now, to challenge the results of the election, to do nothing more than sow doubts amongst the American people about the integrity of our elections. So when you look at it in that context, because they want to get this thing to the Supreme Court, the same Supreme Court that overturned Roe versus Wade. Oh, that's another thing we can't agree on. If a woman who has a baby inside of her, however the baby got there, maybe it was an immaculate conception. We never even thought about that. What if a woman, just like Mary, because Joseph and Mary didn't have sex. They didn't hump. There was no humping. They were virgins. So if you're a woman or maybe a girl and you're 14, 13 or 35, boom, you're pregnant and you've never even humped before. You're just pregnant. You take a Clear Blue Easy or what's another one? I don't know. They look like COVID tests, don't they? You ever see when somebody posts a COVID test online? It looked like a pregnancy test. I'm like, oh, congratulations. You have COVID or a baby. So what if a lady gets immaculately concepted? So she was humped by a ghost. And she's like, I don't want to have this immaculate conception baby. And she just doesn't want it. In a bunch of states, she can't even get rid of a baby that she didn't even hump to get. That's horrible. You should at least give a woman the latitude to make a decision. She's like, oh, I just started this new job. Now I'm mysteriously pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant now. Maybe I'll be immaculately pregnant in a couple of years when I'm more ready. Or when I have a man, maybe to pregnate me, impregnate, whatever. We can't even agree on something as fundamental as that. We never talk about immaculate conception. There's a whole bunch of women that might be pregnant immaculately, meaning they've never humped. And they're pregnant, like, oh, I don't want this immaculate baby, but I can't get an abortion because the baby might be Jesus. I don't know what the logic is. I'll take a break, come back. Going to talk to the town on the other side. Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. I am going to talk about Trump sowing the seeds to withdraw from the debate and find an issue that we can agree on. And hopefully, whatever that issue is, we can move forward with our politics. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Apparently, it's Ms. Shaq's birthday week. Ms. Shaq is probably one of those people that celebrates a birthday month. If you celebrate a birthday month, you're toxic. All right. Let's see what we got here. Not really a city girl is asking Linda, what type of school will it be? We asked her that last week, and she just changed the subject. And so now Linda is saying, hang on a second. How does she rope me into this? I want to talk to professor before I put out the whole spectrum of the school, the curriculum, the student population, licensing and regulation. Linda, I ain't got nothing to do with your school. You don't need to talk to me about nothing. This is your idea. Linda, you've been talking about a school for 2 years and now you need to talk to me about the school. I don't know how to do school stuff. When it comes to school, like, it's important. School's very important because you need to like learn stuff or whatever. But the only My best interaction with school is how to finish it. I just finish. Hey, Sherwin, take these classes. Okay. I took the classes. Now what? You're finished. Oh, okay, good. Now I'm done with school. Yep, here's some paper with your name on it written in cursive that most young people can't read because they don't teach them how to read the cursive anymore. No, Linda, this ain't got nothing to do with me. This is your school. All right, let's talk to the town. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
How you doing, bro?
I'm all right. What's Sir, going on?
Hey, I just wanted to say, like, one thing that people can agree with, I think, is national security, because at the end of the day, none of us want to get blew up. Nobody don't want no another war. We don't want no war because we've been through war for so many times. I mean, for so long right now. And
so national security.
National security. No, nobody nobody want to send nobody to war.
Okay.
No Republicans, no Democrats, no nothing. Nobody, everybody can agree on that, you know, because we've been doing like all the stuff that's been happening in the past with Iraq and whatever, you know, our follies up in there, or whatever like that. We good with that, you know? So I think that's one thing we can all agree on.
What if somebody attacks the United States? Would we still say, we don't want war with them?
That's different though. If somebody punch you in the mouth, your mama and your cousins, they going to want action.
Not if
so
you don't
different.
Want violence.
We America. We build on violence.
Wait, I'm glad you said that. So we don't want war, but we're built on violence. That makes sense. I can agree to that. Oh, he hung up. Okay. You see what I mean? You understand? We don't want war. If you ask a resident of the city of Milwaukee who happens to be by birth African-American and ask them if they give a frog's fat fanny about foreign wars and foreign conflicts, they are much more likely to tell you that they are fearing harassment by the police. If someone attacks the United States either directly or indirectly through one of our interests, let's say they take a bunch of Americans hostage, or they attack an American embassy in, I don't know, Egypt or France. Within 24 hours of that happening, and let's say a bunch of Americans are killed. Let's say it's a bunch of eighth grade children that are taking a trip to Rome, Italy. They're going over to Rome. They raise money. They sold candy bars or whatever the hell kids sell to raise money for the trip. Hi, would you like to buy a $17 candy bar so I can go to Rome? And they raise all the money and they go to Rome. And they go to the place where the Romans are. They eat pizza or whatever you do in Italy. They got good spaghetti, I bet, even though spaghetti is Chinese. There's a bunch of children and they're touring Rome, an American kid. Let's say they're from North Division High School, a bunch of black kids from North Division High School that sold candy bars so they could go to Rome. And then some terrorists shoot the American black kids from North Division High School. And the terrorists are like, ha ha, we killed a bunch of your kids. We would want to go to war with that country. America loves war. That's one thing that we are prepared for, even though we don't really win wars. When's the last time America won a war? It's been about 80 years, and there have been many conflicts in between. Well, no, I take that back. I think we won the Gulf War in 1991, but that only lasted like 20 minutes. We just shot up a bunch of rockets, and then Saddam Hussein was like, oh no, it's too many rockets for me. I don't like it. That's too many. I give up. No, no, no. And then he said he quit or whatever, but we don't really win wars, but we have a very prepared military. That's for sure. Kamala Harris even told you about how prepared she wants our military to be when she gave her speech. In fact, she sounded very hawkish, as we call it. Hawks and doves, right? Hawks love war. They love conflict. They love to protect the United States at all costs. And the hawks will make sure that the military is fully funded and we have enough troops for the troop surge. And the troops have Humvees and they have body armor. They have all the things. Doves don't want war with anybody, even if, as the town said, we get punched in the face. But I think that most Americans are hungry for conflict. I think so. If somebody messes with us, because we're built on war, we're built on conflict, which also describes why we can't agree on anything, because foundationally and fundamentally, Americans debate. We debate everything. Debate is supposed to be healthy, though. But we turn our debates into disagreements and we become disagreeable. So I'm going to take a break, come back. Apparently the town is calling back because he somewhat contradicted himself. I just don't know if war, not going into war, is something that Americans can universally agree on. In any subject matter, in any issue, there's going to be some people that are going to agree. But what is universal? What is a policy or an idea that we universally say, yeah, we love that, we love it very much, or no, we don't want that? And war, I don't think, is one of them. Let me see. I'm going to let you maybe recant your last statement to Tom, because you said that we were built on war, but at the same time, we don't want war and conflict.
Yeah. What I meant was, my bad, because a client just came in when I was talking to you, so I couldn't really expound on my comment. Well, yes, America is built on war. That is true. But right now, in the state of America that we are now, America is war weary. Like, I think everybody, like I said before, Republicans and Democrats can agree that we don't want another Afghanistan, Iraq, or whatnot like that. Even Trump, that's what Trump was saying to help him get elected, because he was clowning the Bushes and the Bush family. Like, no, we're not going that way. And as you can see now, and when the RNC came down here, and you can probably attest to this, where was the Bush people? The Bush people wasn't even around, because they, you know, they're Republicans, but they're leading that to Trump. But anyway, I digress. See, right now we not want that. We don't want that. We trying to grow. We want more money, and I think the people want, like, you know, we want more. We want more. We want something, because we've been seeing all the corporations and all the and the government expound and do more. But it ain't been no plan for the people. I don't think ever since, I don't know what, Franklin Roosevelt or something like that. Like, where they've been like opened up, because America makes more than anybody. We make more than anybody. You know?
We make more of what? What do we make more of than anybody?
I think we make more money than anybody. Oh. We make more money than us.
Okay. Bunch of countries in Europe.
It might be. But we're up there, though. I mean, for our size. And those countries in Europe are nowhere bigger, as big as us.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, so if you take that into account, then yeah, I mean, you know, the American people are feeling like y'all need to open up the Temple Granaries, because we see the money, like you just said, the price gouging is going on. We see that. We see when we watch the news how much the stock market rises and rises. You know, we see that, even though most of us are not in it. But we see, and there's a lot of people making money, a few people making money, and a multitude, it's not even getting no breaks. And then y'all talk about $1,200, like, you guys got $1,200.
But it was a couple of $1,200. And if you had kids, you got a couple extra $1,200 this fall to the kids that people had. So, but no, I get your point. And he hung up, which is fine, because I'm not sure where we were going. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Here's something we can agree on. Democrats live longer. Democratic presidents live longer than Republican presidents. Joseph says Bush's people weren't at the convention because those Republicans aren't welcome down there. They're the same as Democrats, too. These new Trumplicans. Not a single previous. Now, this is just fact now. Don't get emotional about it. It's just fact. Not a single Republican, surviving former Republican president, has endorsed or supports Donald Trump. Hell, Melania didn't even speak at the Republican convention, because usually you got to hear from the wife. The wife can give credibility to the husband if their husband is running for president. Melania don't even like Donald Trump. They don't even really hug each other and kiss each other in public. They don't really like each other. George W. Bush is the only surviving former Republican president, and he was not at the convention. Conventions love to invite their former presidents. Even former Republican vice president, Mike Pence, Donald Trump's first vice president, wasn't even at the convention. That should tell you all you need to know. The Republican Party itself doesn't agree with Donald Trump, and none of them are endorsing him. Now, he did get an endorsement over the weekend from RFK Jr., which is going to do literally nothing. RFK had no chance to win the presidency. He couldn't get on enough states, on ballots on enough states. He could not have gotten a 270 electoral votes. Not to mention his support was in the single digits, because he's nuts. He's insane. Even his own family is like, yeah, we don't really know, dude. Since he started messing with that hair on, we don't really know this dude. But look at the Democrats. Jimmy Carter was president. He got elected in 1976. Yeah, 48, damn near 50 years ago. He's still alive. Not a lot alive. He's hanging in there. God bless him. But he was too old to go to the convention. Then after Jimmy Carter, who was the next Democratic president? Bill Clinton. He was there at the Democrats convention. He's still alive. Bill Clinton, he said something during his speech, which was mostly meandering and very boring. Bill Clinton left office 23 years ago, and he's still younger than Donald Trump. Ain't that crazy? Bill Clinton got elected 32 years ago, left office 23 years ago, and is still younger than Trump. That's wild. Barack Obama was there. Michelle Obama was there. So there's just more surviving Democratic presidents. That's something that we can agree on. Former Democratic presidents live longer, and they essentially universally, I cannot think of a convention, a Democratic convention. I don't know what the hell the Republicans do, but I can't think of a single Democratic convention where previous Democratic presidents didn't attend and didn't speak and didn't endorse. That should tell you really all you need to know about Donald Trump, the institution of his political party. And we also got to be clear about this. Trump ain't really a Republican. Trump is an opportunist, and he saw the weakness in the Republican Party and took advantage of it. That's what he did. He manipulated folks, but that's what he does best. But his own party, including his previous vice president, that should be very, very telling, because don't you want people to have references? Don't we say we like to see receipts? Who has receipts for Donald Trump? What previous Republican president is singing his praises and trying to convince the American people and at least other Republicans why Donald Trump is worth his salt? Not one. And I don't think that other Republican, either vice presidents or George Bush, wouldn't be invited to the RNC. They just don't want to have anything to do with this dude because he is a colossal embarrassment. Maybe that's something we can agree on. No, maybe not, because Trump is still going to get 74, 75 million votes. Can't agree on that either. Joseph, how ironic his name is Joseph, brings up something about Mary and Joseph. They're only 14 and 15 years old. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. I never inquired. I thought they was in their 30s. I've never seen pictures of Mary and Joseph as teenagers. Don't they seem like they're grown people? But apparently, and then you sent a link, Joseph. I can't open a link for some reason. Oh, maybe I can't open a link. Because when I picture Joseph and Mary and little baby Jesus, everybody is like 30. But apparently they were teenagers.
They really should depict Mary and Joseph, if that's correct, if they were teenagers, 14 or 15 years old. So that's children having sex. That's not good. But Christians do weird stuff sometimes. But shouldn't they be wearing like letter jackets? Like, shouldn't Mary be wearing like a cheerleader uniform? If they were teenagers, they were freshmen, maybe sophomores in high school. Wouldn't that be more appropriate to show them as like Joseph played football for the Bethlehem Beasts he played. And Mary, that would explain how she got pregnant, right? Yeah, I didn't know that they were. It says Mary was 14 years old when she, 14, no, it says 15 or 16. Mary was between 15 and 16 when Jesus was born. So there you go. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour two.
101.7 The Truth and Associated Bank have teamed up for our Black-owned business give back. Each quarter, we'll be giving away $6,000 worth of free commercial advertising.